It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Welcome, folks, to our Tuesday night show here. Very happy to have you with us. Yesterday, we dealt with the Morton Steakhouse situation, and I think that that has been dealt with successfully. Bud, you have the update on that.
Yeah, it turned out Morton Steakhouse did the right thing, and they didn't throw the guy out. And
but probably still there.
Why would he still be there?
It's not still there.
No, you're right, yeah. Well, may I, Phil?
Go ahead, General.
The Morton Steakhouse is... First of all, I think they got a very bad rap. I've eaten at Morton Steakhouse for many, many years. It's absolutely the most delicious steak. I know you have Ted Bill.
Ted Bell.
Well, who is Ted Bill?
There was Tony Bill. He was a producer for the... He was a producer.
That's it. Tony Bill. And he has the steakhouse.
No, Ted Bell does.
All right, well...
Right, just... Anyway, the guy... He had his ski cap on and everything.
All right, so in other words, Morton Steakhouse dealt with it fine. Now, over on Facebook, of course, it was not being dealt with all that well. A lot of people use Facebook as a place where they can go and dump a lot of their pain from the day. It may have to do with a steakhouse. It doesn't matter. It really doesn't have anything to do with the steakhouse. It has to do with the fact that they're feeling like they've been walked on, like they're garbage, like they're warmed over you-know-what.
Yeah, like the homemade you-know-what, you know.
Homemade you-know-what. I thought you-know-what was homemade. That's not funny?
No, it's funny, yeah.
Well, then why aren't you laughing?
Margaret, yes, it's very funny.
Then why aren't you laughing?
Ha, ha, ha.
That's the fakest...
Margaret, we're not right now in the laugh mode because we're trying to get some information out, okay?
Well, you really start the show off asking for it, begging for it, praying for it. You're going to get it. Sometime between now and 10, you'll get it.
That sounds like a threat, Ms. Gray.
Oh, right.
Anyway, what are you looking at, General?
Well, isn't that a threat?
No, it's not. I'm not going to worry about it.
Why don't you mind your own beeswax, General?
You issued a threat, and Mr. Henry...
Never mind about that. I want to make sure that we got... So Morton Steakhouse... Now I forget.
Morton Steakhouse, they dealt with the good, and everybody on Facebook all crying and everything.
Yes, everybody on Facebook was crying and bellyaching and bitching and complaining about Morton Steakhouse because... God forbid that we should just go ahead and calm down about stuff, you know. If the Morton's people said we made a mistake, it was a very, you know, we didn't mean to do that to the guy. I mean, these are kids that follow the company policy and so on and so forth. And so all's well that ends well there at Morton's Steakhouse. But now we've got a Facebook controversy that somehow erupted today. And it had to do with, actually just had to do with me.
Well, it wasn't really a controversy erupting as the result of that. It was the fact that you got a little bit of a...
Got a little bit of a tender ass.
That's what I heard.
Oh, a tender ass. Is that it? Is that what I had? First of all, what happened was there was somebody that posted on the fan page the fact that he was all bugged by me blocking him. You know, on Facebook, you can block people if they just bug you. There's no rhyme or reason necessarily. You can block anybody you want. Now, I try not to block people unless I realize I'm dealing with someone that just doesn't get it. You know, we're not there. It's not a free speech forum. I don't have a free speech. I don't know anybody that does, you know. People act as if you have a right to just post anything you want. No, you don't. And so I, you know, put on the page what I feel like putting on the page. Now some jackball tags me, which means I'm going to see this. He thought that I was posted on his page. He tagged me, you know.
Now, what does... I don't understand. What does tag me mean?
I mean, if he put a tag on, you can see it.
See?
No, I don't...
Well, General, this is not a topic that he's... Just listen and...
Right. We have on the line... I know we got Bob Green is going to join us here from Fraser Foods because he has just put up the Fraser Food fan page. And we have a fan page, too. It's very complicated, but we're going to talk here with Bob now about his situation. And I don't know whether or not it's kind of unusual to be talking to you, Bob, about Facebook, isn't it?
Well, I don't think it is, Phil. Facebook is a place where we have gone for many years to promote Fraser Foods and the different deal. And I have my own personal page. I've got the Bob Green page, and I have Bob Green at Fraser Foods. So these are two different similar to what you have, which is the Phil Henry page and then the Phil Henry Radio Show page. And over on my personal page is where I interact with the customers and get to know a lot of those people on a more personal level.
You ever go out with a lady?
Do I ever go out with a lady? Is that what he asked me?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I go out with ladies. Baby.
Well, Bud, what are you asking that for?
If he ever goes out with ladies.
Yeah, I go out with ladies. What's that comment mean? Are you asking me as opposed to men?
No, I think he's... Are you asking, is he meeting women online?
Yeah, do you meet ladies on Facebook page?
Yeah, I meet ladies on the Facebook page, and...
Do you date them?
Excuse me, Phil, was this going to be a part of the...
Well, let's just not ask questions like that right now, and we'll get to the bottom of any of that. Right now, what I want to know is how he deals with the people that... how does he deal with people that interact on his pages? Because Facebook right now, they made an announcement. I don't know if you guys know this or not. Facebook announced today that they're going to now have video ads. They've got video ads. Okay?
Say that again. Say it slowly. Because that's not anything that bodes well.
You didn't see that.
No, I did not. Say it again.
Phil said they're going to have video ads.
And who's that speaking?
This is General Shaw, sir.
Oh, General Shaw. I'm sorry, sir. They're going to have video ads. Say that again real slow.
But you want me to say it to the general?
You say it, Phil.
They're going to have video ads in the feed.
No, say it again slow.
What difference does it make if I say it? You know, Bob...
Phil, the whole point is that Facebook is now riding on my back. You understand what I'm saying? It used to be that you would have to ride the pain. Now Facebook is riding me. And I throw the flag on that. I call unfair, and I will protest that. What I wanted to say to you was that we're very happy. I've got my Bob Green personal page, where, as Bud indicated, I can meet people on a personal level, and I've got the Fraser Foods fan page.
Now, what, if you don't mind me asking, Bob, what is the Fraser, when you have a fan page for a grocery store?
Yeah, that's what it is.
Yes, what are the people commenting on the fan page?
Well, we will put up, for instance, on the fan page, we'll put up a produce of the week. And this week we had, I think it was nectarines. So we've got a picture of a nectarine, and you can, you know.
What, you going to comment on it?
Yes, you comment on it. You can comment and say, mostly what we want are people to give it a thumb up or a thumb. I don't know if you know what it's called, the like. That's what you do on these fan pages.
Well, the little thumb up or thumb down?
That's correct.
There is no thumb down. That I know of.
Yes, there is, and those little emoticons, they have a thumb down.
I use the thumb down. I'd rather people... But you can... I don't want them to give it a thumb down, but if you like it, you give it a thumb up.
So it's a picture of a nectarine, and what do people comment?
Well, you don't get it. You can comment. You can say that's a nectarine, but what I really want people to do is to give it either a thumb up or just leave it alone. See what I mean?
What if they comment?
I'm sorry?
What if they comment?
I would rather that they not. I would rather they not.
Well, you know how people are. They're going to comment on the nectar. You got a picture of a nectarine, and I can't imagine what they would comment on.
Well, that's just it. Either you like it, which is a thumb up, or you don't, which is essentially what we would like people to do, is if you don't like it, you can push off and go and do something else for the afternoon or get off my page. Because what we're about at Fraser Foods is quality produce. At an affordable price, and if you want to give a thumb down to a nectarine, buddy, you need a life. And
yeah, well, people say you need a life if you give a thumb up too.
What's that?
He said people would need a life.
You need to have a life if you give a thumb up.
You need to have a life if you're thumbing up a nectarine.
If you're thumbing, I don't understand that.
But they said, Bob, you used the term thumb up.
I mean, to give it an upturned thumb.
To like it. That's what it's called. Like it.
That's right, like it. And to do that, all you got to do is hit the thumb up. I don't know
Well, you're saying that if people like the nectarine on the Facebook Fraser Food page, they can give a thumbs up. They can comment, but you'd rather that they not.
Yeah, it's just a waste of... What are you going to say, all right? And I'm there monitoring the comments... And if I see comments, then I'll delete them, because 90% of the comments that are made I'm going to delete.
All right, hold the line. We got Bob Green from Fraser Foods as we talk here about the use of Facebook. Interestingly, today I got into a bit of a Facebook battle with someone over the fact that I blocked them. You know, I think it's pretty interesting that people will argue or get personally inflamed or insulted over being blocked off a particular page. It's not any comment on you as a human being. I don't hold the I just don't hold the cards when it comes to, you know, validating you as a person. This guy that got angry, by the way, General, claimed to be a Marine.
No, I refuse to believe that.
He did. He claimed to be a Marine.
I refuse to believe that a member of the United States Marine Corps is going to get butt hurt.
Oh, my God.
Well, I'm sorry, but I refuse to believe a United States Marine. Would you shut him up, please?
Shut up, bud.
A United States Marine would get butt hurt over being blocked off a Facebook page? God will not permit this to happen.
Okay.
Let's
take a break. 855-500-7445. 855-500-7445. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Nice recovery, Phil. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Phil Hendry Show. com. On the 26th of January, I'm going to be at the San Francisco Sketch Fest, and this is the first of what we anticipate to be several one-man shows that we're going to do next year in a variety of locales. And I am proud to be kicking it off at the San Francisco Sketch Fest as a part of the San Francisco Comedy Festival. Those of you watching on Phil TV and HD, there's their website. The 23rd through the 9th, you can see there in San Francisco. Tickets are on sale now. The tickets have gone out on sale, and we are on the schedule there. Phil Hendry on the 26th. As soon as I find that on the page, I will certainly. Now, they're going to be doing a tribute, you can see, to Alan Arkin.
I don't understand. Alan Arkin is one of our fine dramatic actors. What does a comedy festival?
Well, I'm sure that they've got Alan Arkin has given his blessing.
Well, I don't doubt that Alan Arkin's given his blessing. What's that?
That is, I don't know. I don't know what you just saw.
Looked like a lady in a witch costume.
Well, they're just different acts that are going by the scrolling by here. Laura Dern and Mike White, Luke Wilson. That's their TV show. Oh, look at that. Napoleon Dynamite, the 10th anniversary screening. There's John Heater and a lot of the guys that I was doing the animation with. There's Revenge of the Nerds, the 30th anniversary. Curtis Armstrong, Timothy Busfield, Robert Carradine, Andrew Farewell Futurama, like Phil Lamar, Maurice LaMarche. I get to hang out with some of these guys. I hope you guys are there because I know these guys, John DiMaggio and Billy West and Lauren Tom, they're all going to be there at the San Francisco Sketch Fest. That's the 25th of September. I'm going to be there the same weekend, so we simply must have a drink together.
Well, I think that'll be, and you're when?
I'm on Sunday night, the 26th. So I hope some of the guys hang out. That's the San Francisco Sketch Fest, part of the San Francisco Comedy Festival, 13th annual. And go online and check out the tickets right now. Very proud to have been asked to do that.
Well, you seem a little bit surprised. Why would you be surprised, Phil?
I don't know. I mean, I'm a radio guy, I think that more and more in our industry, I should say more and more in the entertainment industry, people that do what I do on the radio get the notice of people that do other things. What, bud?
Does that mean Sean Hannity is probably going to do a comedy festival?
Well, you talk like you... Would you talk, bud, as if you were born in a normal birth and not pulled out with tongs?
What's that mean?
Quit going... What do you want to say?
Does that mean that Sean Hannity's going to be there?
Why would Sean Hannity be there?
Because they've got talk radio guys.
No, Sean Hannity ain't going to be there. All right, enough of that bull crap. So we got Bob Green on the line with us here from Fraser Foods. They have a Fraser Foods fan page. That's the grocery store.
Hold on. I want to ask you a question, Phil. I'm sorry. When you say that it's a grocery store with a fan page, you make it sound like it's weird or abnormal. I don't think there's anything abnormal about it.
No. I didn't mean to say that. I just thought it was unique. That's all.
Well, you can go on the Facebook and find fan pages for Ralph's, for Vaughn's, for all of those, for Bill Davila, the guy that, I don't know if Bill Davila still runs things at Vaughn's. He had a fan page. Can you imagine that? Who'd be fans of him? In other words, he's a big corporate guy. I own a small chain. And what I try to do a very people-to-people outreach. So if I've got customers that are concerned about something, they can reach out to me on Facebook. If I have, and who does most of the shopping? It's generally the mother. It's generally the woman in the family. So I've got a lot of women that are going to ask questions and are concerned about the nutrition of the family. I'm not always there. We are not always able to answer these questions in the store. So they can go to Facebook. They can reach out. And I've had to fight the perception that I heard presented here tonight that somehow because I have contact with the female customers on Facebook that I'm looking to, you know, score and...
You're looking to make time and score.
Exactly. And that is not the case. I have said to a lot of these women, you want a more detailed answer, we can meet and discuss it.
Well, that's where you're going to get in trouble.
No, because this has got nothing to do with what you're thinking.
Well, you're meeting these women for what, a drink?
Well, what am I going to meet them for, hot chocolate? Yes, it's going to be an adult beverage.
What about coffee?
Yeah, Phil, whatever makes you happy. But I'm saying to you, we were talking about the fan page.
Yeah, but you're asking a lady out.
How many of you people am I going to talk to? I got Phil, I got...
Just ask me, just answer this question. You can talk to me. You're asking these women who want to know more about the store and nutrition, you're taking them out for coffee.
I didn't say coffee. I said I would take them out for a cocktail. If it made them feel any better, if they're nervous about the kind of food they're buying, have a drink, relax, and then I'll explain how we do what we do. Yeah. I'm out taking a bus tonight, Bill, because my car's in the shop. There goes another bus that just went by, Bill. And I'm with Bill Armstrong, who's with our finance department. And we've missed about two buses.
You know, we had a guy on the show here not too long ago who kept missing buses. Oh, it was Dr. Turner, right?
Yes, and he said that he was missing buses because he was with a black colleague.
Well, I don't have, no, this Bill is not black. What are you, Bill? Are you a... You're an Indian, right?
I don't know.
You don't know what you are? Phil, this is Bill Armstrong.
Hey, Bill, how you doing?
Yes, how are you?
I'm good.
Are you an Indian?
Oh, I think I'm Indian.
Yeah, I think he's an Indian. Are you telling me that that's why we're not getting a bus?
No, I don't think that's why you're not getting a bus. I don't think the buses are blowing by you because you're standing there with a Native American.
All right, that's okay. So, what was your question?
We're asking... Now I've got my mind going in a million different directions.
Well, Bill, I wanted to ask a question if I might. I don't mean to bother you, Mr. Green, about this, but you're standing there waiting for a bus with a Native American, and you've missed two buses, and Phil did this with Dr. Turner. Maybe it's you. Did you think about that?
No, it's not me. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about it. It's me. He said he thought it was me. All right.
Well, maybe it is.
Well, maybe it is. I don't know. Maybe it is, Phil, but I'm not prepared to accept that right now. I'm not prepared to accept that I am the reason we're not getting a bus. I'm not going to accept that. I've had a tough day. I take a lot of hits on my self-esteem. I've got a hair system that doesn't fit. I'm 5'7". I've got women that won't date me, even though I'm worth many millions of dollars. I will not take the hit of knowing that buses are blowing past me. Because I'm here and not some guy that looks like what he is, which is...
An Indian.
Yes. What? Nothing. So,
All right. I've got, a lot of questions I want to ask there.
I don't know if I want you to continue with this interview. That was the most racist diatribe I've ever heard.
You know something, Ms. Gray? Every time I'm on this rotten show...
Rotten, huh?
Yeah, every time I'm on your show, she's butting in and causing problems. Now, I wanted to get said what I wanted to get said.
He's crying.
Are you crying?
Yes, Mr. Henry.
Yes?
Yes, Bill Armstrong. Sir, Bob's crying. Do you want me to continue the interview?
He's crying.
Yeah.
not crying. He's crying.
He's crying. Just like a baby. Just like a small baby going, nee.
All right, let's take this break and...
Oh, my God.
All right, let's take this break, and we'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Congratulations to Daryl Hall and John Oates for being inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Speaking of Facebook, I had a discussion with a guy today who said, Hall and Oates, yeah, sure. What about the Descendants? I go, man, I must be missing something. I was around for Pearl Harbor and the explosions. I was around for the Dead Kennedys. I was around for the Clash. I was around for the Descendants. I missed a whole... Talk about missing a bus. We'll be back. Boy, that's some kick-ass... You know, if we don't get rid of this slow-ass bumper music, I think I'm going to cry.
I think it's very leisurely.
I don't need leisurely, man. Welcome back here, world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Our number is 855-500-7445. I just had the page up there, The World of Phil Henry there at the Eureka Theater. And the tickets are $600.
What?
I'm kidding. They're $25, okay? $25 for The World of Phil Henry. Now, that's not as high-priced as Sarah and Sean Watkins, but it's higher-priced than the Deep Blank podcast with Baron Vaughn. So there you go.
So you're more money than Baron Vaughn and the Deep Crap podcast.
Yes.
But not as much as Sarah and Sean Watkins.
Exactly. So that's fine. And so it's Sunday night, the 26th, at the Eureka Theater in the beautiful city of the city by the bay, San Francisco. Bob Green from Fraser Foods, we were talking about his fan page, the new fan page on Facebook that he is just now putting up. Can we find this page, Bob? Have you got a Facebook address for us?
We're doing the finishing touches on a revamping of the page, Phil, and I'll get that to you just before the end of the interview, if that's okay.
All right.
But you were asking me about the features. Now, we have the produce of the week where you can like or just not, but there's no feature to answer your question where you're going to thumb down our produce.
So if you have a picture of a nectarine on your page, as I understand you do.
Yes.
And I don't like the nectarine. I don't. Can I make a comment?
You can make it. Well, what would be your comment?
Well, that's, I don't know, but it might be something negative.
Well, such as what?
So you would allow a negative comment about nectarines?
I would allow negative comments, but again, Phil, it's just like you. This is a page that I want to control for the purpose of increasing business to the page, you see?
All right.
So it would depend. So what would be the comment?
Well, let's say I said that nectarines, I like them, but...
But see, that right away, I would just qualify because you're setting me up. When you say nectarines, I like them, but you're setting me up to be happy with the comment only. And then when I see the word but...
You know something negative's coming.
I know something negative's coming.
Well, what if you, Robert, what if you said, I like nectarines, I don't like the pit in the middle of the nectarine.
I probably would not let that comment fly either because it doesn't sound like an adult. It sounds more like a child, or if it is an adult, it sounds like an adult that didn't develop fully mentally.
Well, what does that mean?
I think you know what it means.
No, wait. You say, if a guy puts, I like nectarines, I don't like the pit?
Yeah, that sounds like an adult that has very definite learning disabilities. I like nectarine, but I don't like pit in the, I don't know.
No, I didn't say that I'd put it, I'd say I like nectarines, or General Shaw said I like nectarines, but I don't like the big seed.
And you're telling me that sounds like an adult that is fully formed.
What do you mean fully formed? Do you mean an adult, you know, see, here's the problem I'm having.
I'm talking about an adult that can drive a car. I'm talking about an adult that can vote. I'm talking about an adult that can live on his own. I'm talking about an adult that can pay his own taxes, that kind of an adult. That doesn't sound like that kind of an adult.
So that kind of an adult is not going to say, I like nectarines, but I don't like the pit in the middle.
Or the big C, you know?
Well, what can I say?
Wait a minute. Was I talking to Margaret?
Yes, you were. Hold on, Phil. All right. So if I said that I don't like neck, I haven't been able to.
Yeah, we don't know what is allowed and what isn't allowed.
I think I just told you can thumb up the nectarine.
You can thumb. So I go. There's a picture of a nectarine, and there's 100 likes.
Yeah, there's 100 likes.
And if I look in the comments section, I may not see anything.
Well, that you see that right there. That shows that you have a. Why wouldn't you see anything? If you've got a problem with nectarines, then say it. I wouldn't know.
Why would you say I got a problem with nectarines?
If you don't see any comments, you're saying there wouldn't be any comments.
Oh, I see. So you're saying if there's no comments under the nectarine, obviously you have been editing or deleting all of the negative comments.
Yeah, and then that makes me look very bad because people think I'm sitting at home going, delete, delete.
Why were you laughing?
Well, I had a picture of myself as I usually am when I'm sitting at the computer monitoring comments. I'm in my underwear with a cup of...
a cup of cocoa and everything?
Yes, a cup of hot cocoa, which I'm very surprised. How did he know about that?
I don't know. You're guessing because you're embarrassed.
Yeah, guess if you're embarrassed you're in your underwear...
Well, the next logical step to be embarrassed, you're in your underwear with a cup of hot cocoa. Were you also wearing your socks?
Yes, I was.
And no shirt?
That's correct, yes.
Yes, that's embarrassing.
That's kind of a weird-looking...
Well, all right, let's not go too far. I mean, that's what... But if you see me in my underwear and socks and a cup of hot cocoa, and I'm just hitting delete, 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 that is... pretty much saying that people hate the living guts, which you can't do, but...
Well, they hate the living guts out of a nectarine.
Yes, sir. And that is something I can't afford. I'm the head of Fraser Foods, which is one of the largest independently owned grocery chains in America, and you're telling me that people hate the living guts.
No, I haven't said anything like that.
There goes another... Hold on for a minute. There goes another bus. What are you doing?
I don't know.
Well... I asked Bill to go out here on the corner and flag down a bus or a cab, and I just saw two of them go by.
You know, if you got to get home and it looks like it's late, maybe we should let you go, huh?
Well, I'd be very happy to go, but I want to make sure that you guys are clear that our Facebook fan page, we have pictures of our produce. That's one thing that we do. The next thing we have is a store map, and the store map shows you all of the different aisles and all of the different foods where our checkout counters are, and I think I sent you the map here, Phil. You can look there on your email.
Yeah, I see it right here. And, okay, so it's laid out. There's the parking lot. Now, you have two big X's, these red X's.
Right. Well, those are where the restrooms are located, but we don't want anybody... One of the things that people do that is... It's not going to happen here. When they come in out of the parking lot, where's your bathroom? And they go to use the bathroom. I don't want that. I don't allow it. More to the point, we don't allow it for the employees. The employee is on the floor and they need to use the toilet. They got to go upstairs right there. You see the arrows?
Yes, you've got, there's two big red X's and then two fingers pointing up the stairway.
And the fingers continue here.
Fingers are continuing. Like, oh, there's the restrooms there.
Yeah, that's for the employees.
How do you know that a customer is not going to mistake that for them?
Say that again, Phil?
How do you know a customer sees those two big X's, those two big red X's? Those are the ground floor bathrooms. Who gets to use those?
Customers that are in the store already and are shopping, and they've got a cart full of items, and I know that they're going to go to the checkout stand, and they're actually going to spend money with me. And they're not coming in to go to the bathroom and tip their cap and walk out. I got to tell you, there's nothing in this world that quite rubs me the wrong way that a guy that comes in, goes directly to the bathroom, leaves whatever he's going to leave, and then comes walking out, tips his cap as he's...
Well, the man's being polite. You just don't like them.
No, he's being polite, but he's also saying, thanks for the use of your toilet.
And you don't want him to do that?
No, I'd rather he not, General, and that's why we put the two big red X's there.
All right, but what I'm saying is you don't want people coming and using the toilet. Now these two fingers, no, there's actually one, two, three.
Look like there's five fingers that go on this way, this way, this way. Then they go up the stairs this way, this way, this way, this way.
Yeah, I mean, I want people to know where they're going.
Customers?
No, employees. Oh, God. I didn't make that clear.
Bob, you're not, no, you've got these two X'd out bathrooms, then the fingers that are pointing up the stairs.
All right, and the thing, you know, you guys may think it's really funny, but I got a business to run.
I understand that, Bob. This is on your public page. This is on your Facebook fan page. The two bathrooms are X'd out.
Why are you people focusing in on the toilets? Why, what about the, look at the aisle there where they have, where we got the international food. You see that?
Right, and I was going to ask you about that, too, because you've got a face that is decidedly Asian.
That's correct.
But it's wearing the Mao cap with the star.
That's correct, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, are you saying it's because it's commie? I mean, or a communist?
Well, I mean, you've got Chinese food, and you've got representing the Chinese nation there is the Mao Zedong red star. That's cool with you? That's cool with me.
Well, Phil, are you Chinese? No. So you're the last guy that I need to worry about when it comes to this.
Well, but you've got all these people in Mao suits, and they're holding rifles.
That was from a Chinese website I went to. What?
Bob, we're not. I'm sorry. You know what? You know your business better than we do.
Thank you very much. Yes, I do.
All right. The only other thing I would say is, because I think it's important, the people that come in to use the bathroom, they can't use that bathroom. These fingers that point upstairs to these two large blinking green lights.
Yeah, those are for the employees only.
It doesn't say that. That's all I'm saying.
Well, you know how they're going to figure out that it's for the employees only? Because if I see anybody going up those stairs that is not an employee, then we hit an alarm. And that is technically a security breach. Now, we don't make a big deal out of it, but if anybody's going up those stairs that I don't recognize as an employee, we do hit an alarm, and then it's just a matter of us getting to the staircase before that individual reaches whatever the offices are that they may be trying to break into.
Yeah, but we're talking about someone that may be wanting to use the toilet.
Why would they go up those stairs?
Because you had the fingers going up there.
Because I had the fingers going up there.
Because you've got a map here with fingers.
You're showing people where the toilet is.
Yeah, employees.
What about... Oh, God.
Well, you're talking about the customers.
Yes, the customers. They're going to think that that's where they go to use the bathroom.
No, no, they don't. Because the bathrooms downstairs are for them. The big X's are for the ones that are just coming in to use the toilet. But if they're just people that are shopping, they can use those.
How do they know all of this?
Have you ever heard of something called common sense, Phil? I honestly, I don't know, but to me, it's common sense.
It's common sense that a guy comes in off the street to use those bathrooms, he knows he shouldn't use those bathrooms. A guy that's shopping there knows that he can use those bathrooms. He will not go upstairs, unless, of course, he went to your website, your fan page, and printed off this sheet that a lot of people do. It's the map of the store, and he'll see the two big red X's, so if he has to go to the bathroom, uh-oh, better not go there. There's some fingers pointing up these stairs. Now I'm going to go up there. He goes up there, and an alarm goes off, because it is, after all, a post-9/11 world, and... you'll do everything in your power to stop him.
You know, I've never heard anybody purposefully malign and misconstrue what it is I've been trying to say.
That is absolutely wrong.
Bob, we're simply coding back to you.
I've never heard, I've been on a lot of radio shows. I just did the Bruce McNugget show, and he didn't do any of this. Bruce McNugget, who's on up in Santa Rosa, and I was there because we're opening a store in Santa Rosa, he said... he understood everything. I said, about the toilets, too? He said, yes. I said, bingo. We fist-pumped, or we fist-bumped, I should say.
Was this a radio show?
Yes, it was a radio show.
How did you fist-bump?
Figuratively. I don't know why I go on this show.
All right, let's take a break here.
You know, that's a man who's manifestly upset with you.
I don't understand why. I'm asking some good questions, and I'm not alone here, right?
No, man, I understand what you're saying.
All right, we'll be right back on a world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Robert Greene from Fraser Foods here, and we're talking with him about their Facebook fan page. We have one. We also have a friends page, and it's very interesting how people will interact with you over there. Sometimes they think that you are their best friend in the world, and if you block them, then they turn into crazed people who want nothing but revenge. Then you have the opposite side of that, people that are just possibly not getting it, not using the page not using the page the way they should use it. In Bob's case, he's got a nectarine. I understand that, you know.
Yeah, if you like the nectarine.
If you like the nectarine, you can give it a thumb up, but you can't make a negative comment.
Well, why would you want to make a negative comment, you know?
Yes, that's a very good point.
All right, okay, but then we have the following, which is this map of the store and the bathroom, and you can't go upstairs.
Well, that's a legitimate point.
It's a what?
That's legitimate.
I think it's legitimate. We'll be right back with more here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. All right, world-famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. So busy updating, guess what, a damn Facebook page. I'm telling you.
You need to have, like, five other people working for you. Quit being so cheap and hire them.
I'm not being cheap, okay? Welcome back to our program, Bob Green, for the final few minutes here as we talk about... So I just had a problem right there, Bob. I was trying to update a Facebook fan page in the middle of a radio show, you know.
Well, you know, Phil, it's a time-consuming job. That's why I say I spend a lot of time at home, and I've had people, girlfriends, I've had friends of mine comment, you know, we walk by your office at home, Bob, and what do we see? We see a guy sitting there in his underwear with a cup of hot cocoa, everything that you guys are laughing about, in my socks, in my briefs, hitting delete, delete, delete. I'm telling you.
Why are you laughing?
I'm not laughing. I'm not laughing at all. I feel very emotional about it because of the fact that...
All right, I'm sorry. You guys haven't gotten a bus yet either, have you?
No, we have not gotten a bus yet. You gonna get out and get a bus first, Bill?
Because you were emotional, that's right.
What?
I said you were emotional, that's right.
It sounded as if you were going, ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay-ay.
Yeah, Philly, you're all right, aren't you?
Yes, I'm okay, everybody. I'm fine.
All right, but we're having a difficult time. Bob's, it's difficult to hear him. He was crying last half hour. You wanted to know... If he was laughing.
I can assure you, Phil, I'm not laughing. I'm emotional about what we're saying because I'm trying to... You know, if I'm sitting there in my underwear, this is giving you guys the big laugh of the night.
Yeah, it is pretty funny.
You know, this guy that you got, this Dickman with it, yeah, it is pretty funny. See, that's the part that bothers me.
But if you're going to say you're going to sit there in your underwear and everything...
But that's his business.
All right, you, though, are telling us repeatedly you're in your underwear.
Yeah, I'm in my underwear, in my socks, and I'm hitting delete, delete, delete.
Because everybody is posting negative comments.
Everybody, just about everyone's posting negative comments. And what is the negative comment about? A nectarine. That's what I'm trying to get you people to understand. Why do I have to sit there monitoring my Facebook fan page, the Fraser Food fan page, deleting negative comments about nectarines over and over and over again? It's enough to... Of course it makes me cry. And then I'm in my underwear and socks and someone walks by and goes, man, that's a disaster area there.
Who's walking by?
I'm sorry?
Who's walking by and seeing you in your underwear?
I spent all this time trying to tell you.
Phil, it doesn't matter.
All right. Robert Green with us here. Our number is 855-500-7445. We have Bobby Dooley on the line, who has been at Fraser Foods from time to time and shopped there, and Bobby is with us. By the way, listen to the Bobby Dooley podcast. It's available, the Bobby Dooley podcast on the Sideshow Network, as well as on the, well, it's over on our website, the Phil Hendry Show website as well. Bobby, how are you doing?
I'm doing very, very well, Phil. And Bob, how are you?
Fine, Ms. Dooley. How are you?
I'm good. I've been in your store occasionally, and Phil mentioned I do a podcast, and I did devote a podcast to nutrition and family nutrition and to the likelihood that that your grocery bill is going to grow exponentially over the next several years.
Exactly.
My question has to do more with your own personal interaction when you were peeling that banana in the produce section. Because I had asked you about the dole and what the contract was.
Yeah, Ms. Dooley, you asked me about whether or not we were still being supplied by dole. I mentioned we are supplied by dole and Chiquita bananas. And I was peeling that banana, and I was glancing at you to see if you were paying attention. You know, I wanted to show you how ripe the bananas were.
Right, and then... My husband said something that he should never have said.
Yeah, he said, I'll bet you do. And I said, you know something, buddy? If I was about 3 inches taller, I made some comment that I shouldn't have made.
First of all, I understand my husband got out of control.
Now, wait. You guys are talking about something here that's kind of interesting.
I know the story. If I may, Bob was peeling a banana, and Bobby, you claimed he was glancing at you provocatively.
That is my contention, yes.
Absolutely untrue. I think it is really beneath this dialogue for you to call up in the middle of this program and try to submarine my efforts at supporting my company. I did not look at you suggestively. I was peeling the banana, admiring the banana. I'm a grocer. I admire bananas. You know, sue me. I mean, it's weird. I get it. But I do admire bananas. And I was smiling at the banana, not you. All right?
Well, when you looked at me, you were smiling and going, see how ripe it is? And the smile, it was very suggestive.
What do you mean suggestive?
There was some saliva gathering at the corner of your mouth.
I'm sorry, but my mouth was watering. This is unfair.
I think this is a discussion for another program. Perhaps we can have Ms. Dooley on later, but we do have to break. And I apologize profusely because I know that this is something that probably could use another few minutes to fill out the discussion on. We're going to be back, though, next hour. We've got a lot more to talk about India and what they're trying to pull with our embassy. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. World-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, and appearing at the San Francisco Sketch Fest on January the 26th. Get your tickets now. And I know how this stuff works. People wait till the last minute.
Well, if they wait till the last minute, they may be blocked out.
Well, that's exactly what happens. People will say, oh, the 26th, I got plenty of time. I'll wait till the week before, and then it's sold out. It's not a big thing. I don't know how many seats in the theater, but these things do get sold out. So I would suggest that you go and you buy your ticket early, and maybe just buy a block of, say, 50 seats. I'm kidding. But I will hear from people. I know it's going to happen because it's happened before.
What do they blame you?
Well, they don't blame me. There's no blame. It's just, oh wow, I forgot to get my ticket and now it's sold out. So I would, and this is just me. I'm not saying you have to, and I don't have any special information either. I'm not saying, wow, you know, I happen to know. I don't. I just know past experience has taught me that people, and this is the buying habit of the human humanoid that we know, people wait when they hear, oh, it's a month out, I've got plenty of time. And then the next thing you know, it's sold out, and they didn't have plenty of time, and they weren't exactly sure. So if you're interested in going, that's all I'm saying, if you're interested.
Yeah, because they may not even want to go see you.
Well, that's great. Okay, so if they don't want to go see me, you know.
Well, it's not that they don't want to see you, Phil, but they'd rather not. And how do I say this, Margaret?
They like listening to you on the radio, but to look at you, and this is not about you being ugly.
No, not at all.
No, it's just they don't want to. Remember what Ted Bell said? I'd rather have my eye poked out with a stick from a tree than look at you.
Yeah, but he was trying to quote the Bible, which is cast thine own eye out before, you know, you cast out.
Before you take another guy's eye out and throw it. Yeah.
Before you take another guy's eye out and throw it, yeah, take out your own eye and throw it.
No, he didn't say that.
No, he said something like that. And Ted was trying to quote it, and it came out, I'd rather poke my own eye out with a stick from a tree than look at you.
Well, that's essentially the same sentiment, isn't it?
I don't think... What?
All right, no, it's not.
No, it isn't. That's ridiculous. Ted Bell is an imbecile, and I happen to know that Ted, like myself, is an atheist. And for him to be quoting the Bible is absolutely vile. It's hypocritical. I've got a lot. He was quoting the Bible, huh?
Yeah, very much so.
I happen to know that he is a godless, soulless. I love Ted, but he is soulless.
All right. Let's.
That's rather. It falls rather flat, Margaret, if you want to.
What did?
The comment you made fell very flat. If you want to amend it somehow so that when Phil goes on, it doesn't leave such a stench.
I beg your pardon.
All right.
I didn't cut one. I didn't leave a stink.
Well, in his opinion, you did.
No one's talking to you. You know what?
Hey, what? Hey! What did I tell you about that? 855-500-7445. On the line with us now is Frank Gray, Margaret's husband, a former television producer, now retired. Frank is also a entertainment attorney, one of the well-known entertainment attorneys here in the Hollywood, the city of Hollywood and Los Angeles and all that. We're going to talk about a story here, Frank. As you know, Walking Dead, a phenomenal, phenomenal cable success story. And obviously there's quite a few people that, as the saying goes, success has many fathers, failure is an orphan. And I'm sure there's quite a few people that want to take advantage of saying that they are responsible for the success of that show, wouldn't you say?
Well, I don't know. You know, there are people that are responsible for the success of that show, and those people are called the television viewers.
Amen.
Oh, and then we forget about it. Who was that? Was that...
It's your wife.
Oh, I heard him, but I didn't know who it was. How you doing, honey?
I'm fine.
I could hear his voice, but I didn't know who it was. It's Margaret. Phil, there are people responsible for this success of Walking Dead, and they're called television viewers. Those are the ones that are responsible for the success of Walking Dead. Don't ever, and I'm going to tell you this, when I used to work with Guy Richmond, and I worked with Cecilia Raymond, these were all the old school television producers, and they'd all get together after a show got into the hit. And I remember Cecilia saying, "Boy, there's a lot of people that I'd like to thank," when she got the Emmy for Chuck Wagon. "There's a lot of people I'd like to thank."
Was this a guy?
Yeah.
Named Cecilia, huh?
Well, Cece. We used to call her Cecilia, but it was Cecil or Cece. But anyway, she's up there saying there's a lot of people that I want to thank. And I finally said to her later, I said, "You know, man to man, you know, don't you think the individuals that are responsible for this show's success are the viewers?" I said, "Man to man." And she said, "What are you talking about?" And that's when I knew I was dealing with a real ass, you know.
That is the truth. I'll tell you, Cecil Raymond, that guy, unbelievable.
So, and then the other people, you know.
All right, so, but isn't that kind of the way it is in Hollywood, you know, everybody is sharing or wants a piece of the glory?
Well, everybody may want the piece, everybody may want the piece of the glory, but let's get to the case in point here. We're talking about Walking Dead. Now, if people are not familiar with this story, the creator behind that show is a guy by the name of Frank Darabont. Frank Darabont developed a TV show about this zombie apocalypse, but she got fired after the first season. And she's just filed a lawsuit in the New York State Supreme Court of the state of America, New York and America. I mean, that's as big and as badass as it gets. Frank Darabont, who created Walking Dead, she's gone. She's dragged Walking Dead and AMC into a courtroom.
All right, now, what is his beef?
She's saying that the way that AMC is calculating the show's licensing fees is depriving her and other participants of tens of millions of dollars, according to the lawsuit. And a representative for AMC did not immediately respond to a request seeking comment. And I know who she is. That's probably their press guy, Alan Wardlow. She never, you can't ever get her on the phone. She is, but I'll tell you, she's a hardball. I used to play racquetball with her, and she's married to a beautiful, beautiful girl by the name of, you know Angie, Margaret?
Oh, she's lovely. I love her.
Yeah, he's a terrific wife for her. But this guy that is the press relations guy for AMC, she's going to keep her mouth shut. And that means that myself and probably Bob Darabont, who's my partner, she's going to try to get a statement.
Now, what do you guys have to do with this?
Well, what we're gearing up for is the possibility that there's going to be more than one plaintiff involved in this. And if there is, we may have to take some of the spillover, some of the slop, you know, as we call the slop jar. See, this lawsuit is like something that's sitting in a slop jar, and there's going to be slop spillage. Now, the attorneys that are working for Frank Darabont, they can't, they're working for her, but there's going to be others, and who's working for them? So we're waiting to pick up some of that slop.
Why is it called the slop jar, Frank? It doesn't sound very dignified.
Because that's exactly what happened. Whoever the attorney was that got Frank Darabont's business, they're lucky to get her business, but and we weren't there in time. So I'm waiting to see if there's going to be anything besides this one slop bucket for this guy. There's got to be more than one.
All right, we'll take a break here and talk. I want to get into the reasons and more of the specifics about why he's suing AMC, why he feels he's entitled to more money. I remember, as if it was yesterday, when I think it was David Jansen who sued the creators of The Fugitive, which was a very, very popular television show. And he just, the lawsuit happened in the 80s. So, in other words, they'd gone for many, many years paying out the residuals and the royalties on the success of the television show The Fugitive. And David Jansen was the star of that show. Finally went to court. He said, I'm not buying this. You know, this show is a smash hit. And the royalty checks, these residual checks I'm getting, they don't even remotely reflect what kind of money I should be making based upon the success of this show. There's something wrong here. And they took him to court and they won. So we're going to find out. This is always a danger, man. This is always a danger.
Phil, don't start preaching because you're going to start talking about your own story here.
All right, I'm not going to do that.
Did somebody screw you, Mr. Henry?
Don't worry about whether that happened to me. We'll be right back here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Hey, head over to our website and get a backstage pass, gift subscriptions for Christmas time, two tiers of subscriptions to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. It's all over there, philhenryshow.com. Check it out. We'll be right back. Welcome back, Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. You know, we're talking here about royalties and who owes what to who, and, man, that's just something that's near and dear to my heart, I'll tell you that.
Oh, now, don't get yourself into trouble.
No, I'm not going to get myself into trouble, but we have the same problem in this business that they have in the television and the movie business, and that is you work for a company or you work with a partner or you're doing a job and you're expecting monies that have been made as the result of the job that you're on, and suddenly they tell you, well, we don't have any money. Now, this is going on with a company that I was associated with not too long ago. They will be nameless because they've got, as we call it in the business, tender asses up there. But I happen to know other people who are not being paid, and I happen to know other people who haven't been paid for a long time. And the excuse is, well, we haven't been paid money that we're owed by another entity. Well, now when I look at that, I think, let me tell you something. If those cats are not making any money, and they're owed money by another entity, and they're not getting paid, I'm owed money.
Well, you're talking about when you were there.
Yeah, when I was there. In other words, if they weren't, and are still not getting paid the way they're supposed to be paid, and that money is then distributed amongst the talent that they're in business with, and I was one of them, then I didn't get my money. So you understand that, and I don't know if there's anybody from that company listening to me right now, you understand that all you are is in line for a massive lawsuit, man. I don't know how you guys are going to be able to avoid it.
Phil, this is exactly the thing.
Wait. What do you mean exactly what thing? What are you talking about?
They're going to go and they're going to listen to the tape of the show and sue you for being mean.
Oh, they're going to sue me for being mean. Well, I didn't know that. Well, of course I'll take all of it back. Not. Frank, you're a lawyer. What do you think?
Well, I think that you have a case if it can be established that the company that you were with was indeed holding back funds and using as an excuse the so-called other entity holding back money from them. Because if they sue and they get the money from the other entity, then they should be paying you as well. But you would have to hire a forensic accountant. And I anticipate, Phil, that whoever these people are, they would make it difficult for you to collect your money not easy because of the unconscionable scumbags that they are. If they were decent human beings with who wanted to do right by you, then of course they would welcome you looking over their books. But being the lowlifes that they are and the radio suits, oh, man.
Frank, you sound, Frank, almost as if you're as bitter as Phil.
Not really, but I'm just thinking of the people that I've had to deal with. Do you remember, I'm going to give a last name here because I don't want any of her people to recognize I'm talking about her. Do you remember a guy that ran Shakedown Films? Do you remember a guy by the name of, give the last name, Kopelman?
Yes, I remember him.
All right. I went into business with her, and we produced a movie. And her wife was in this movie. I'll never forget his name. It was, swear to God, serious as a heart attack, Phil. His name was Glamour Puss, this wife of Kopelman. So I said to her, you got your wife in the movie. Congratulations. She said, thank you very much. I said, he's very beautiful, but that's not much of a stage name, Kopelman. Is he going to take another name? And is he going to be performing under the name Kopelman? And she says to me, I got that all covered and figured out. We're changing his name to Glamour Puss. I said,
Glamour Puss.
Right. I said, you know that there was that James Bond character, Pussy Galore. And I said, and that was a character in the James Bond series that I guess she had to deal with. I think she shot him.
Who shot who?
James Bond shot this Pussy Galore, I think.
Well, no, he didn't. I think that she was dispatched in some other way.
Well, in any event, I mean, I don't care. What I'm saying is that Kopelman, the producer of this film, that I had gone in with her on this, she names her wife Glamour Puss. That's what she calls him. So he's in the movie as Glamour Puss. Well, guess what happened? The James Bond people sent a cease and desist. This is exactly what I was trying to say while the two of you were running your yaps.
I'm sorry.
All right. The James Bond people sent a cease and desist to her saying, yes, we understand that he's your wife, and that he is very beautiful, and that he has got the big, you know, cans and everything, but you can't use the name Glamour Puss because that is owned and operated by the James Bond franchisee and franchisor.
And who is that?
Who's what?
Who's the franchisee and franchisor of James Bond?
I don't know. It's that Broccoli. Bob Broccoli. What's the name, Margaret?
Yeah, I think it's Cubby.
Yeah, her name is Cubby Broccoli. And that's a family that made their money in the produce. Speaking of Bob Grain, that's a family that made their money in the produce line.
Are you telling me that the Broccoli, I think, is the way it was pronounced?
No, that's not what I'm looking at. I'm looking at Cubby Broccoli, and that's the guy. She produced all of those. So,
well, what are you saying? They were in the produce.
What's their last name?
Are you telling me they named the vegetable after them?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying they were named after the vegetable. Oh. You know, you got to keep up here, Henry. And
are you all right? So the family was named after the vegetable. How does that work?
I'm not going to get into it with you. All I know is that all you have to do is look at the credits on any movie and you'll see her name, Cubby Broccoli. And her daughter became the producer. I think her daughter's name is Barbara, and he started producing. So she had a beautiful daughter by the name, and he was a great producer as well, her daughter. And his father, Cubby, and of course he was a female, so he was not able to really get the respect in the business that she got because she was a man. You see what I'm saying? So
yeah, I understand. All right, so now we got the So your partner, this Kopelman, gets sued.
Yeah, so Kopelman gets sued, and I saw her in the office. I said, why the long face? Mr. Ed, you know, I tried to lighten things up, and she says, why don't you go straight to... She was in no mood. She said, just go straight on down there to where it gets real hot, because I got nothing for you today. I got no jokes, no banter. I said, but what's the problem? And she begins to relate, well, the James Bond people called, and I can't change the name of my wife to Glamour Puss. Now he's got to keep his name, Kopelman. and it never worked. His name was Dopamine, and...
Well, what's her real name?
You mean her wife?
Yes, your partner...
Oh, yeah. I don't know. What was his name, Margaret?
Oh, it was... I thought it was Belinda or... Yeah, Belinda.
Yeah, Belinda Copelman. How's that for the name of a woman? I mean, it's not exactly a stage name, is it? But he took it because he wanted to make his husband happy.
All right. We're talking here with Frank Gray. That's the wildest story, and yet we are now miles away from where we wanted to go, which is Walking Dead.
Oh, no, we're not. No, we're not. No, we're not.
Okay, fine. Well, then can we bring it back to Walking Dead?
Fine, let's bring it back to Walking Dead. So Frank Darabont, who is the licensed holder for The Walking Dead, and along with some other partners, she thinks that she's being screwed six ways to sunset on the royalties. So she's going to have to hire lawyers, which she's done, and she's going to have to look into the books of AMC, which I'm sure they're going to do. And I don't doubt in my mind that this has a very good chance, 50-50 chance it'll go to court. There's too much money at stake, Phil, for it not to go to court.
Oh, so you don't think there'll be a settlement?
No, there's not going to be a settlement. You mean a courthouse step settlement?
Yeah, that old courthouse step lawyering.
No way. Not with all this bread. No. AMC isn't going to bend over and point at it and go, anytime you're... I'm sorry.
What's wrong, darling?
I'm just remembering the Kofelman episode.
All right, you hang on, Frank. We'll be right with you, all right? Wow.
That was very emotional for him.
May I ask a question at this particular juncture?
If you're going to ask about the gender confusion.
Yes, I am. I'm wondering, will he ever be cured?
At this particular point, the jury's out.
Well, what are you, a doctor all of a sudden? I'm asking Margaret, the wife.
Well, Bud's right. The jury is out. He's comfortable. He's enjoying himself. He's enjoying his life. But Frank will always, I think, have the gender confusion. Why did you play this?
I don't know. It just came up on the...
Oh, give me a...
Because it...
Where the buffalo... What's the matter?
I get emotional when I hear this. Frank loves this.
And the
oh!
Play.
Well, it is rather...
Where's the...
Come on, will you?
Oh, I love
oh,
it.
Oh, give me a...
Where the buffalo... Where's Frank? Get him on the phone, please.
Margaret, we've got to move on.
Get Frank on the phone now.
Yes, ma'am. Frank? Yeah, Margaret's on the line here. Yeah, he's on the phone now.
Frank, do you hear this?
Yeah, I heard it. Gene Autry, she was a good friend of mine.
Home on the range, Frank. Deer and the, what is it called?
The antelope?
No, that can't be right.
Well, that's what she just sang. She sang Deer and the Antelope Play.
Frank, don't tell me.
Did you just hear her sing that, Phil?
Yes, I did. He did.
Cloudy all day. Frank and I love this song. Would you believe, Phil, turn that garbage off, please, for a moment.
Garbage?
Well, I love it, but it's too, it's in my... It's in my ears. Turn it off, please. It's in my ears. Turn the garbage off. Oh, thank God. What happened to Frank? Get Frank. There he is. Frank, honey?
Yes, I'm here. God almighty, I'm listening to you going, Frank, I'm here. That's a very emotional...
I know, darling. I'm sorry.
Can I ask a question?
What?
What do you mean, turn the garbage down? A moment ago, you were all enthralled by this song.
I love Home on the Range by Gene Autry, but I was trying to make a point. And when I'm trying to make a point and the music continues to play, now it just turns into garbage, unlistenable trash.
Yes, because what he has to say is important. I understand what my wife's saying. He's trying to say that he loves the song, but now that he's... trying to make that statement and the song is playing underneath him, then it's pure swill. It's noise. It's worse than noise. It's something that they use in the aversion therapy labs of the worst state police in the world. It's something that most likely the character played by Mark Strong in Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, most likely that's what she was listening to as she was being tortured by the Soviets in that one scene, Phil. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
That's. I think that she was listening to Home on the... I don't know.
Well, I don't think it was Home on the Range, for God's sake, Frank.
What did you just say was going on?
Hold on for just a minute. The character that Mark Strong played in Tinker Tailor Soldier... What?
Yeah, the guy was getting tortured. Do you remember when the guy had on the headphones?
Oh, yeah.
Yes, he was being tortured by the Soviets.
Yeah, that was gruesome.
Oh, yeah, the Soviets, they were torturing her. And she manned up. And she took it. And she took it as they played...
It sounded to me like they were playing the sounds of, like, kids being killed and... You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it sounded like an automobile accident, a little kid getting killed and stuff.
Yeah. Do you think that's what it was?
I guess no one's listening to me today. I said it was Home on the Damn Range by, what was her name?
Jean Autry.
That's what she was listening to, her.
Okay, Frank, thanks a lot.
Well, there's no need to get tough with me.
Phil, Frank Gray is one of the top entertainment attorneys in town. What are you doing?
What I'm doing is hanging up before I go nuts, because every time I've got Frank on the phone, I flip. I hear him with the her and the he and the her, and Jean Autry, she's great, and Mark Strong, her character.
Oh, my God, he's mad.
Phil, you all right?
My God, he's lost. Phil.
Ow! Hit me in the face.
Well, are you all right, son? Here, look at me. Here.
Put him in the face, okay?
Well, I've got to... Buck up now, boy, buck up. Here, get him something to drink. He's out on his feet.
Here, get some scotch.
Yeah. Here, drink that. Down the hatch. Come on, I don't want to drink. Down the hatch. That's it. Give him another one.
No, I don't want another one.
He's all in a heap.
Here.
What are you doing?
Taking a drink. I'm out on my feet.
Get out of there with that drink. You can drink after the show, okay?
Now, was there, you're beating the hell out of the news copy tonight.
Usually I do. Yeah, look at this stuff. All right, so thank you very much, Frank. The story here on AMC, just in case you missed the excitement, is that Frank Darabont, who is the show's the creator, as they say. Now, this show was based on, or is based on, a comic book. So what I'm basically looking at, and maybe I have this wrong, is that Mr. Darabont got the licensing. He licenses the characters, he licenses the name, he licenses the story from the comic book's creator. And he holds the licensing rights to that story, brought it to AMC, and helped to create and maybe develop the show based on that, do you think?
Well, I don't know. If they're talking about licensing fees, Phil, then yes. Frank Darabont was the one that went to AMC, went to the Walking Dead people, and...
Yeah, you were on the Walking Dead people.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
What about it?
Mm-hmm.
No, Bud, there's no zombies. He wasn't doing any, you know...
No, but he went to comic book people.
Well, he was talking to comic book people, is that it?
Yeah, the Walking Dead... What is that, Bud?
Oh, paper airplane.
Get out of here with that. Walking Dead was on... was a comic book. What I'm reading here is that Mr. Darabont went to the creators of the comic book and got the licensing rights. That means he doesn't own the characters, he doesn't own the title, he doesn't own anything. He's licensing it. If you will, he's leasing it. He's renting it. He's saying, let me rent it. Not unlike what is done in other areas of business. You own that golf course? Yeah, well, we manage golf courses. We'll lease it from you for a piece of the action. So that's what a lot of cities are doing with their public with public pieces of property. So he got the licensing rights. He goes to AMC. He says, I have the rights to this story, and here's what it is. Now, from that point forward, what do you think he did?
Well, I don't know if he had anything to do with the creator. I think Frank Darabont's a very well-known name in the producing circles around Hollywood and thereabouts.
Is he a man?
Yes, he's a man, Bud.
Then why'd Mr. Gray call him? Sure.
Because he's got gender confusion.
Oh, that's right. Don't you remember about gender confusion? Yeah, I do.
Bud, you've got to get up to speed, son. You're lagging way behind, and we're in the final turn, heading for home. And
well,
all right. So anyway, that's what I believe. And then, of course, the rest of it is other money. So you have money licensing. Then if you're actually helping to create, as in develop, write, you know, that kind of thing, that's other money, like executive produce, that's other money. So there's different, there's lots of money streams here, and there's lots of different salaries that people get paid, executive producer, consultant, producer, all that stuff.
Well, there's no question there's probably an awful lot of money involved, but really it depends on they've got 16 million viewers, which for cable is great, but it's not all that boogie-woogie for the rest, do you think?
No, it's not. It's not. But nonetheless, for cable, it kicks cable television into a whole new level of acceptability, respectability, being able to, people look at cable TV and monetize cable TV. AMC was a piece of turd, man. AMC was worse than bad. It destroyed brain cells. That's how bad it was, you know.
Now, Phil, you told me you've got the great AMC story from being in the hospital.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to keep beating it into the ground, but I mean, I was in a hospital, and all I had was AMC and a couple of other channels, and I thought I was going to die. I thought it was going to kill me. It was that bad. It was so rotten, you know.
Well, what was rotten about it?
It just sucked. Forget about why. So the fact that they've been able to bring that channel back with these original series, these original programs, this is not the first time that AMC's been involved in doing producing original shows. I mean, they've been doing it for over 10 years. AMC's been producing different shows. They did have a series on there that was sort of a 1940s, 50s film noir type show, and that I thought they had created so that it conformed to the whole American movie classic vibe, you know?
Well, I don't know what that means, but it was an original series. You went vibe like that, and you don't like me going, you know, with what you call lazy jaw.
You did a lazy job there, Phil.
Okay, well, I'm sorry for doing lazy jaw, all right?
Well, you know, it's good for the gander, you know.
Yes.
What's good for the gander is good for the goose? Okay. Let me say vibe in less of a lazy jaw way. They developed it. It had that film noir vibe.
What a baby. You told me not to do lazy jaw, so when I said that I thought that Meryl Streep was one of the greatest actors, and you'd like it, so I'll say this. Meryl Streep is a great actor. There, are you happy with that?
I'm not saying that, Margaret.
That's exactly what you said, baby. You go, vibe, because you suddenly realize what a jackass you really sound like when you tell someone to stiffen it up, get it throbbing. Well,
yeah, a little hard to say, isn't it? That's why we leave the hosting duties to me.
What do you mean, stiffen it up and get it throbbing?
Would you please, General? I'm a married woman.
You're the one that brought it up.
Yeah, you brought it up, Miss Gray.
And what's that supposed to mean?
It means, in other words, Margaret, let's just drop it. Drop it. And I'm not asking, I'm saying. We'll be right back.
Okay, Daddy. Whatever you want. Whatever Daddy wants, Daddy gets.
Yeah, okay, Daddy.
You want me to belt you so hard, bud, that you'll think you're still alive and you'll be doing a radio show and the host will look like me and it'll be Margaret and everything will be normal, except we'll be transparent.
That you know he did?
Yeah. We'll be right back at a world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. By the way, coming up next hour, we're going to talk about Roger Waters and some comments that the erstwhile member of Pink Floyd made. A good man, a good musician, a fine artist, but politically, he's got his head way, way up there, man. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
This is very unusual for Craig Duncan, who is a country singer, I think, isn't he?
I don't know.
It sounds very lilting.
Not a country singer.
All right, anyway, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and God rest ye merry gentlemen, to the extent that we have any listening.
I think most of the gentlemen that are listening are women, if you want my honest opinion.
Very good, General.
Well, all right, that was good, General. So, we're going to talk next hour about Roger Waters, and this hour we were discussing a little bit of the Walking Dead thing. And we also got into a discussion of Facebook. Now, I don't want the evening to pass without something. This kind of bothered me. I don't know if anybody else is bugged by it. But in India, they have removed the concrete barriers that are in front of the U.S. Embassy. Now, you may not know this, and it may not be a big thing to you, but the United States arrested and held for a short time an Indian diplomat and eventually releasing her once she posted bond. What were the charges? Apparently, she had been, quote, underpaying her nanny and had entered the country by committing visa fraud. The name of the Deputy Consul General in New York for India is Dayani Kobragade, and she was arrested on Thursday for allegedly, quote, underpaying her nanny and committing visa fraud. What is that?
Underpaying the nanny?
Yeah, what is that about?
That she didn't pay her what she said she would.
Well, what has that got to do with the United States? What, are you telling me they're keeping somebody out of the country because they didn't pay a nanny the right amount of money? Bull crap. The other thing, though, is more serious, committing visa fraud. But here's the deal. Ms. Kobragade was released on a $250,000 bail after pleading not guilty to the charges. She did surrender her passport. She faces jail time, blah, 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 blah. Now, India, upon finding out not only that this individual was arrested, but apparently the Indian government is claiming she was manhandled, that she was treated in a rather undignified fashion for the representative of another country. She was placed into handcuffs and essentially treated in a manner that the Indian government felt was far too, it was a little rough treatment for a country that is an ally of ours, and an individual that is here representing that government should, rougher than an individual like that should be treated. So the Indians have taken great umbrage. And today, this being whatever the hell it is, Tuesday, when was this, last Thursday? They haven't let go of this, man. They're really pissed off. They have said so. They have, I think they actually kicked a couple of our diplomats out. And now they've taken down the concrete barriers that were in front of the U.S. Embassy in New Delhi. And this is, according to Reuters, in apparent retaliation for the arrest and allegedly heavy-handed treatment of an Indian diplomat.
Well, what is that about? So, in other words, the United States is being exposed to the potential of terrorist attack because of the arrest of...
Yeah.
Hold on. I'm not done, bud. The United States is being exposed to potential terrorist attack because of the arrest of this woman. Would you ask him to shut up? I'm still talking.
Bud.
The United States...
Could you please vary the tone of your voice?
No, I will not vary the tone of my voice. I'm trying to think of what it is that I want to say. The United States is being punished for the arrest of this woman and the alleged heavy-handed treatment by having the security of her / our embassy in India compromised.
Why are you doing that in that? Phil, I'm going to hurt somebody. All right, hold on for a minute. Don't say that.
Well, it's bugging me.
Yeah, it bugged me too.
What is bugging you?
Don't do that anymore, Margaret.
I'm trying to keep my mind concentrating on the point. All right, never mind. What up? You know something? I thought they made men tough now. I guess they don't.
Margaret, I'm the toughest guy that you'll ever meet when it comes to a battlefield and defending this country. But if I have no recourse and a woman is going... you know, the United States is doing the thing, and she's doing... And I can't do anything about it. Do you understand? I can't do anything about it.
Are you going to bawl, too?
No, I'm not bawling. I'm feeling very emotional, though.
Because you'll make number four tonight of somebody crying.
I'm telling you that if you don't stop her...
Do you understand, Phil, that he's threatening me? I don't like it.
You're doing it on purpose to make the general go ape. And you want to see him go ape? Okay, fine. You want to see him swing from a vine? I don't.
I'm not trying to make him swing from a vine.
Can you knock it off, Margaret, or I'm going to kick you out of this studio.
My God, I'm trying to think of what it is I'm trying to say, and sometimes people do get very monotone.
Right when this guy is losing it? Okay?
Please don't point your finger at me, Phil, as if I'm an exhibit in a glass case. I'm a man, damn you. A real man. Flesh and blood, you see? These are legs. This is my head.
As far as it goes, yes, that's your head.
Why, you dirty...
Hold on, General, hold on. Yes, I am pointing at you as if you're an exhibit in a glass case, because I am. You are exhibit number one in why Margaret shouldn't be doing the monotone thing, because you're going to drive him nuts and he's going to hurt people. And the first person he's going to hurt is me.
Why do you say that?
Because I'm between him and Margaret, and that's who he's going to go after.
So you'd come after me, is that it, General?
You better. If you kept going with the you and the da 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 da, I was going to go over top of Phil, leaving him just a bloody pulp, and I'd be on you in a New York minute.
Well, now I've heard it all. Assault a woman.
Margaret, knock it off, okay? We get it. You're very funny.
I'm not trying to be funny.
Yes, you are. And it ain't funny. India, as I was saying. India. I agree, if that's what you're saying, that it looks to me as if they're screwing with our security. That is not cool. Now, the Indian government, for their part, responded by saying, oh, no, this hasn't got anything to do with that. We're simply trying to alleviate traffic flow, we're trying to help the traffic flow in front of the embassy. It is a point of congestion, and by taking down these concrete barriers, it allows the flow of traffic. I don't know what the answer is. It seems like if they were taking these concrete barriers down...
That means they want to have a terrorism.
Yeah, doesn't that mean they want to come in and, like, blow it up?
I don't think that's the case. I know a great many. Some of my dear friends... Frank and I host at least once a month a dinner of some of our local diplomats here from the various consuls here in the Los Angeles area. Yes, I'm doing lazy job, but for a point, Phil. We have had Vantu Bhagavadanta, who, as you know, is the assistant sub-consul here in Los Angeles for the country of India. At least that's how he represented himself. I don't know.
Well, you said you didn't know about it. Is this guy from India or not?
I don't know. He said, hi, my name is Vagnu Bhagavadanta something, and I'm with the Indian consul, and he came in and he ate the food. So I said, oh, well, next month let's have a dinner with some of the other diplomats. Do you know the others? You see, I know the, quote-unquote, I know the guys. And it all sounded very unprofessional to me.
Yeah, it sounds very unprofessional. Bhagavadanta, why did you think he was fake?
Well, the sub-consul of the Federation of the Indian, the whole title sounded phony baloney. What are you laughing at?
How did this guy get into your house? I don't understand. Was this a party?
It was a party, yes. We had some of the young actors over for a show that Frank's producing, or that we've got some money behind. And he showed up, and I said, oh, are you with the cast? He said, no, my name is Bhaktivedanta Vadudududu something, and I'm the assistant sub-consul of the Federation of the Galactic Federation of India something. And I just accepted it. Frank said it sounded good to him. So
now, okay. We're going to be right back, folks, with more of this fantastic conversation we're having here with Margaret Gray and with all the rest of the guys in your phone calls. Don't forget to go to philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com, where you can get backstage passes, where you can get online merchandise, where you can get our Teds of Beverly Hills hoodies, all kinds of stuff, man. philhenryshow.com. We'll be back after the news break. PhilHenryShow.com. Welcome back here. And I got a message here. Did you see this, General? You're the one that brought it to my attention.
Yes, there is a man said that they'd been having some fun. I don't know that I appreciate that they were having some fun on a website for a bar and restaurant, I think, in the Beverly Hills area. And there's the link. I'll send that to you.
Bar, restaurant, which Beverly Hills hotels are... Oh, these are people that are... Oh, we're staying at the Regent Beverly Wilshire just for one night. So are these people...
These are people recommending hotels and bars, and one of your listeners got his little Ted Bell shot in there.
You know, we ought to have Ted on and see what he thinks about this stuff.
No, he's busy, right? Try to call him up right now, and he's all, I can't talk. The Dunphy... God help me, the Dunphy, and then the line went dead.
Oh, the Dunphy brothers are in tonight, that's right.
The Dunphy brothers?
What are they?
A couple of guys that Ted Ted has an ongoing sort of relationship with these. He bets with, I think they're bookies. Do you want my honest opinion? And he's constantly laying money down on sporting events, and they're always coming in and betting. They might be friends. I don't know.
If you want my honest opinion, I think that they are mobbed up.
Margaret, you have to be careful how you say these things.
Oh, are you kidding me? This is Los Angeles. This is not New York. We don't have La Cosa Nostra. And I'm sorry if I'm getting a little too slack-jawed, Phil. But we don't have that problem here. Thank you.
Really? Yes, we do. Maybe not to the extent they have it in New York. To the extent that anybody has that problem anymore. The mafia has been pretty well beat up over the years by the Federals. But the fact is, don't just never mind, okay?
Talk about a mafia.
Never mind. The Dunphy brothers.
Well, that doesn't sound it doesn't sound Italiano.
Yes, you have to have the Don't you have to have the Italiano?
You want to keep screwing around like? Why don't you ask Frank what happens?
I don't need to ask Frank anything.
So.
What about it?
The Dunphy brothers obviously are not in the mafia because they're not Italian, okay? That doesn't mean they don't have friends, and that's all that I want to say about that. Thank you. Anyway, getting over here to the website, we are staying at the Regent Beverly Wilshire just for one night. What is this?
The guy said they're having a lot of fun over there, and I scrolled down.
Assuming you don't want to eat the excellent restaurant at your hotel, two restaurants close by, Spago's. Okay, so these people asked the question, where's a good place to eat? We're at the Regent Beverly Wilshire. That's a gorgeous hotel. Is that the one on Wilshire?
Yes, the Beverly Wilshire. Wow.
Well, I don't know.
Didn't we have a Christmas party there one year?
Somebody did. I was at a Christmas party that somebody was holding, and I was, yeah, so...
You don't remember who was hosting the party?
No, I do not.
Well, that must have been some kind of a night.
In any event, it says here that the people, they're asking any suggestions for a good bar and a restaurant to go to. And here is a person who says, well, there's Spago's at North Cannon in Beverly Hills. And Wolfgang Puck does lots of the catering for the Academy Award events. There's Ruth's Chris Steakhouse and so on and so forth. You might go to Trader Vic's for a drink before dinner. That's also close to your hotel. And so on and so forth.
Yeah, well, you'd have to read. Keep going.
The best steakhouse in Beverly Hills is... here we go. Ted's of Beverly Hills. And that was posted by Chris Norton. And then there is Bobby and Steve Dooley posting, if you're ever in Southern California, just drop off at Ted's of Beverly Hills. We had the best time. Steve had a little too much to drink, but insisted on driving us home anyway. And then you have a guy below that.
Now, this is where the guy came in and said, there's no such place, and then they closed the comment section.
Well, I mean, I don't know. It says here, then a guy says, great goof, there's no such place as Ted's Steakhouse of Beverly Hills. I have heard Ted on the Phil Henry Show, H-E-N-R-Y, but Ted is part of the show. Ted has many different tolls he plays on Phil Henry.
Roles, I think is what that means.
So this guy thinks Ted is playing a lot of different roles on the show?
Yeah, I think, yeah. He thinks Ted Bell's is all over like white on rice. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. What do you want from me, you know?
Well, it's the kind of thing that I think Ted needs to be brought to his attention, because I don't know who this Jimmy 58 is, whether he's real, fake, but obviously the man's looking to impede Ted's business.
It could be that, what's the man... This Hong Kong Charlie.
Well, I don't know. That doesn't read like Hong Kong Charlie.
What are you talking about, Hong Kong Charlie?
What about Hong Kong Charlie?
But we think of Hong Kong.
What are you saying?
What if it is the Hong Kong?
The Hong Kong. What is that, shorthand?
Yeah, that's what Ted calls him. Ted says that the Hong Kong Charlie's just going to call him the Kong, and he thinks the Kong is coming in, and he's going to try to do to him what King Kong done to Skull Island. Just step on him, everything.
When did you talk to Ted Bell, man? Does he talk to you guys privately or something?
No, he called up and wanted to know when he's going to be on the show and everything. Yeah, he's always asking, you know, am I on this weekend? Is it 7:30? What time am I on? And everything like that. And I go, as long as I got you on the line, Ted, I want to pick your brain about the King Kong Charlie, whatever, Hong Kong Charlie. And he goes, oh, yeah, you mean the Kong? I go, oh, yeah, well, you mean the Kong? He goes, yeah, it's called a Kong on account of he's going to Kong.
Will you stop mumbling, man? I don't understand what you're saying.
My God, what did you just say?
I said, what are you yelling for?
I don't understand what you're saying, you mumbling mouth.
Bud, you've got to slow down.
You said that you're telling me about Kong and the Kong.
I said, Ted said, that the Kong, which is what he calls Hong Kong Charlie, gonna treat him the same way Kong treated that jungle.
So Hong Kong Charlie basically is the King Kong of Ted Bell, is that it?
That's what I'm hearing.
Yeah.
Yeah, he said that Hong Kong Charlie is gonna treat Ted Bell and everything that is Ted Bell just like the way Kong treated that the jungle and the way Kong did to that, what do you call it?
Elevated train.
The elevated train.
What a mental midget, I'm telling you.
So are you saying that Ted Bell did that?
Yeah, that's what he said.
He's an idiot, you know? I swear to God.
Well, he's a big sponsor, Phil.
I don't give a damn if he's a big sponsor or not. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life. Hong Kong Charlie's going to treat him the way Kong treated that elevated train.
Oh, man. Well, you know, Phil, it's fun to laugh unless you're the butt of the joke, you know?
Yeah, well, Phil, he has a real fear.
You know you know what? I'm learning something about Ted Bell. I really am. I'm learning that the guy is a real lightweight. You know that?
What do you mean?
I mean the fact that he's got some competition down the street that's a Chinese restaurant, completely different from what he serves, completely different price point, totally different price point, totally different customers. Hong Kong Charlie's is a family joint. Ted's is a late-night date place. It's a steak joint. It's a, you know, cocktails. It's a, you know, it's men and women, man. Yeah, he has the families coming in on Sundays, but it's a total different vibe. What is he so paranoid about? I got money that says Hong Kong Charlie doesn't bust into Ted Bell's money at all, that it doesn't affect his business at all.
Well, don't you think that Ted Bell knows better than you what Hong Kong Charlie's capable of? I mean, this is only the beginning. We don't know what he can do.
Well, it's a good point.
What Hong Kong Charlie is capable of. What sounds like he's going to come in the middle of the night.
Do you remember Daniel Plainview? I'm going to come to you where you live in the middle of the night and slit your throat.
Oh.
Well, go ahead and... Oh.
You got to make jokes, Phil?
Yeah, I'm making jokes. There goes Margaret.
Yes. The Roy Tans?
Yeah, over the refrigerator.
Thank you.
Well, you going to join her for a Roy Tan?
Don't mind if I do.
Look at these two, man. But the general is really kissing up to Margaret. I wonder what's going on there. All right.
Absolutely nothing, thank you.
All right, we're going to be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. What else we got here, bud? A couple of more stories I know that we'll get into when we return. But maybe bring Ted on just so he can respond to some of these very nasty, nasty rumors that I'm now floating for no reason whatsoever. That he's a real baby, and he's getting more baby-like as the days go by. World-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. We'll be right back. World-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com at 855-500-7445. What did you want to do?
Well, you were going to get Ted Bell on here.
No, we had Ted on last night. I guess probably we should, though, because I was looking for another news story and I couldn't find it. A reminder that we are on Facebook at facebook.com/PhilHenryFans, PHANS. That's Phil Henry Fans, PHANS. So if you want to go and like the show, you can do that. And we talk to folks. Generally, that's a good place to go to see what we got cooking on the show. And we're on Twitter at twitter.com/PhilHenry. That's twitter.com/RealPhilHenry. And then we have twitter.com/PhilHenryShow. So there's a couple of different ways that you can reach out and get in touch with us and rock and roll all night and party every day. Speaking of that, congratulations to KISS for making the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Margaret, you have the information there?
Yes, and KISS, Linda Ronstadt, Daryl Hall, and John Oates. And there's a few more, and I don't know what it is.
Well, can we find out, please?
I'll find out, yes.
Ted Bell joining us from Ted's of Beverly Hills. on this evening of quite a few things. The Dunphy brothers.
Yeah, well, I told the kid there, Dickman, that I had the Dunphy brothers in. I didn't want that to be broadcast to the entire world, but hey, you know what? You know, you don't always get what you want in this world, and I sure didn't want that, but I got it. So thank you very much for that. By the way, yes, the Mormons, a terrific group. They're going to be, it's their Thursday night booty at the Redwood. The Mormons, outstanding group, are going to be on hand, plus the stand-up comedy of the Asterios and a group called F, well, I can't say the name of the group, but it's F-Ass and the Grease Patrol. And
excuse me?
Margaret, this is the name. I was asked to mention this. What do you want from me?
Oh, God.
Yeah, and so, what do you mean, oh, God? I think it is it's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful act. Anyway, it's the Mormons, so please do visit the Mormons at the Redwood Bar. Here at Ted's of Beverly Hills, of course, this weekend, we playoff football resumes in the prime rib room. Come on in. If the Dunphy brothers are here, you don't have to talk to them. That's my business. I don't know who decided to open their big fat bazoo on that. But that is really dirty pool.
Well, you told me about it.
I don't care if I told you about it, because the Dunphys came in tonight, and the speculation as to whether or not they are affiliated with organized crime, oh, man, do you understand that that could get me dropped? Those guys have nothing whatsoever to do with organized crime, and you say something like that, Phil, you could get me dropped down a manhole and washed out to sea, and I become just something else floating in a harbor, and someone says, well, look at the colorful buoy that they have this year. Oh, I'm sorry, that's a man. You know, Phil...
Well, wait a minute. If they're not with organized crime, what are you worried about?
They're not with organized crime. These are two very dear friends of mine, very close, dear friends.
And so if I happen to mention, by mistake or speculate, that they are with organized crime, you'll wind up getting dropped down a manhole, washed out to sea, and turned into a human buoy.
Yes.
I don't understand that. How's that possible?
Well, Phil, if you insult a man, naturally, there's not...
Go ahead, Margaret. You know exactly my thinking on this.
Yes, there's not much he can do.
If I insult a man...
And you say that he's a part of organized crime, what else can he do but knock you out and throw you into a manhole?
But he's not a criminal.
Yeah, he's now you've made him a well you've given him a criminal instinct that he's trying to fight against.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? You guys are nuts, and nuts is just the beginning.
Well, you can call me nuts, but I know the Dunphys. Both of these guys are sweethearts, and even if they were associates of a crime family or syndicate or crew or whatever you want to call them, I don't know anything about it. Even if they were, I certainly wouldn't be talking about it on the radio in such a grandiose and cavalier manner as you have done this evening, risking me getting, yes, knocked out, thrown in a manhole, washed out to sea, and I'm bobbing up and down like a human buoy. All you got to do is put a flag on top of my head, and people would say, there's the three-mile marker. And I don't think that's funny, Phil. And
well, it's funny to me.
Oh, is it?
No, just the image that you just now... portrayed.
No, well, I don't think it's funny. I've got a wife and a son. You think my son thinks that's funny when I talk about Daddy bobbing up and down with a three-mile marker on him?
Yeah.
Well, I mean...
Ted, look, you were doing fine until you brought that up. The point, Phil, I think we're trying to make is Ted has people that go into that restaurant. There's no question that there are some... Would you agree, Ted, that there are some shady people?
What are you trying to do to me?
Ted,
No. What are you trying to do to me? I got a business. This is some of the biggest weekends we have throughout the year. We have football. We have families coming in. We got the holiday season. We just had Thanksgiving. We've got Christmas coming up. People like to come in here for a steak dinner. And you're talking about the mafia? What the hell am I signing up for here, Henry?
You're absolutely right. It's wrong to speculate.
Wrong? You're going to get me killed. You're going to get me killed. You're going to get me run over. Repeatedly. Did you ever see the videotape?
Well, here we go. You're going to be... Now he's going to start exaggerating.
Oh, wow. Oh, well, you know what? Did you see the videotape of that broad, excuse me for saying broad, that backed over her husband about six times?
Yes, I saw that. You know, it's interesting that you bring that up, Ted, because Patsy, my wife, saw that during a period of our life that I will tell you was not the most settled period. And I saw her watching that. And you always know when a woman has a bag of Fritos, or, you know, the large scoop, not the... And it doesn't matter that they were Fritos, but I took note of the fact that Patsy had a bag, and she was on a diet. She loved Fritos, but she had the large scoop. You know the one, the large scoop?
Yeah, I know the large scoop Fritos.
Yeah, that's... And she's eating those and watching this videotape of this man getting run over about six times. And you could almost see the light bulb hovering over her head. And I will tell you this, if it had been a real light bulb, I would have been blinded once that thing came on, because the light from it in my mind, in my immutable Buddha mind...
Phil, could you throw it to Phil for a minute?
General, why don't you sit down, okay?
Yes, but in my mind, you know.
I understand.
Well, thank you, General.
Yes, in my immutable mind.
In your immutable mind, General, many things are possible. There's no question. No question at all. Look, the General saw it. I saw it. That guy that got run over eight times, that's what you want to have happen to me. The Dunphys are two men. They are family men. They've got children. They have wives. They've got every kind of female. They've got daughters, wives, aunts. They've got grandmothers. They've got female employees. They're just covered with, there's women everywhere, and they don't have sex with any of them. So, you know, they are very stand-up guys, and you're calling them mobbed up? They're going to run me over eight times and then throw me out right off of Catalina so that when I start to bloat and then float, okay?
Okay, Ted, I get the idea. They're really stand-up guys, but they're going to run you over and throw you off of a boat near Catalina.
Yes.
If not out of an airplane.
That too. So I got to tell you, I would, if you don't mind apologizing.
I apologize. I know the Dunphys are great guys.
Yes, and they're not bookies either.
And they're not bookies either.
Right. And...
Well, yeah, they are, but...
Thanks a lot. So, Ted knows some great guys, you know.
I don't understand that guy's gonna...
You run him over eight times, and then they'll throw him out of an airplane near Catalina. You know how many guys go that way, by the way? That's quite a,
Go what way?
I mean, in the world of organized crime and hits and that kind of thing here in California, I mean, in New York, but here in L.A., there's a lot of guys that get thrown out of airplanes, you know?
Well, are you talking about over the channel, the Santa Barbara Channel?
Yeah, between L.A. and Catalina, between L.A., between the mainland and those Channel Islands, there's a lot of guys that just get pushed right out of an airplane.
Man, what do they do that for?
I don't know. It's the world of the criminal. It's the world of it's the world of the hit. The world of the, you know, the whack.
What's that?
When they kill a guy, man.
Yes, when you whack a guy. When you whack a guy. Now, if you whack, well.
I don't think we have to. Yes.
When you whack what?
When you whack anything else, it ain't killing them, okay? You're not killing it.
If you whack.
Yeah, you're not killing that. You're killing only, if you whack a guy, you kill him.
But you whack anything else?
I already explained it to you guys. You don't have to keep going, okay?
You know they do that on purpose.
So anyway, that's the thing that I understand and have heard. You get thrown out of an airplane. That's the California way, man.
Woo!
Man.
That's pretty rude, man.
Well, I don't imagine getting killed is the best manners on the part of anybody. No, it sucks. But they found a guy out here. Did I ever tell you that's the mind blower of all time when I heard? I'll tell you the story when we come back of Stephen B. I saw it on television. My mother used to go in and get her hair done, and the woman that did her hair was Stephen B.'s mother.
Oh, my God, that's the disc jockey.
Yeah. And I saw this thing on Investigation Discovery, and I believe I'm getting the story. I'll tell you when we come back, because it was a real mind-blower for me, because I remember my mother saying, do you know Stephen B.? Do you know Stephen B.? I said, no, Mom, I don't. I know, I've heard of him, because he was on the air in Denver. She said, well, his mother does my hair. I said, well, it's, you know, that's great. And so it went. Wow. We'll be back. Phil Henry Show. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show.
Amazon.com.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Oh, Andy Williams. Do you know that he lived with an older woman? And, well,
you don't need to hear that.
I love Andy Williams, and you would befoul his name, wouldn't you?
He lived with an older woman. I didn't say what he did.
Probably spent her money.
It's I beg your pardon?
Spent her money.
Would you guys shut up, please? I'm trying to listen to the...
What was that? I mean, you like this?
Not really, but it's...
You don't like this.
Now, I never liked Andy Williams. I never liked his voice. It sounds too, well, I shouldn't say...
feminine.
Yeah, it does. It sounds feminine.
I beg your pardon, Andy Williams?
I don't like it, you know. I like the more of the Frank Sinatra thing, you know.
What a bigot.
How's that being bigoted that I don't like Andy Williams' voice?
Well, you're intimating that Andy Williams is of an effeminate nature. And then,
Oh, Margaret, give it a rest. No one's calling Andy Williams a poof or anything like that. We're simply saying his voice is unsettling. It's disturbing.
I wouldn't put it that way. I wouldn't say Andy Williams got a disturbing voice. All right.
Can I listen to this song, please? Because I... Here, listen, right here. Do-do-do-do-do-do. See, do you hear the chorus? Do you know what that takes to be able to do something like that?
What, sing?
No, hold on. And scary ghost stories and do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
What do you mean, scary ghost stories?
It's about Christmas. It's frightening for some people.
It's the most
wonderful time of the year. Here it is. Here, listen. There are dead people walking and, you know.
No, no, I don't know.
Turn the garbage. Would you turn that garbage off, bud? God almighty.
You know, it goes from being a song you love to garbage.
I want to clear something up. You're not aware that Christmas frightens some people.
What? What are you talking about?
I'm not talking to you. Are you aware of that?
No, I'm not.
Christmas scares the living hell out of some people. I'm one of them.
Well, all right. I, you know.
Well, what?
Margaret, what are you...
You know, when I heard the Christmas Carol and the Ghoul of Christmas Past...
It's not the ghoul.
Well, wait. They call it the ghost, but let's talk about this. The ghoul of the thing of Christmas past. That's what I translated it into when I was a child. Because my father would say, well, this is the Christmas Carol, the ghost. I said, well, Daddy, because I was very precocious, I said, Daddy, let's cut to the chase. It's the thing of Christmas past, isn't it? It's the ghoul. It's the preambulating. It is the. It's the thing. It's the slime that locomotes.
What's that mean, locomote?
Moves. It moves.
So the moving slime of Christmas...
When you laugh, it makes me want to take my own throat out. It really does.
Because you take things too seriously.
Maybe.
Do you need to go and...
No, I don't need to go to the bathroom.
But I want to be clear. The moving slime of Christmas past.
Yes. Are you clear now?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Well, you know as well as I do that that is an asinine and absurd notion.
I'm just saying that sometimes Christmas scares me blind.
When you think about the moving slime of Christmas past. All right. Well, anyway, welcome back to the program here.
You know, I love how you just blow it off like I'm some kind of a freak. And, you know, I'll get to you later, Margaret. Thank you for your freak show. Now get back in your cage.
Margaret, you let yourself in for it.
I don't let myself for in. I don't let myself in for anything there, brains.
All right. 855-500-7445, the world famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Now I was going to say to you, the whole Stephen B. thing. Now I know we have Dr. Ron Turner. What's he want?
Dr. Ron Turner's only want to talk about things that make allergic, that make you allergic. And the things that'll cause you, give you migraine headache during the festive time of year.
Yeah.
During the festive time of year.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, we'll get to that in a second. Well, you know what? Maybe we ought to get to it now. The whole Stephen B. story is very depressing, you know?
Well, get to that some other time. His relatives may be listening, and I think you already told it once.
I seem to remember you did, Phil.
Okay, fine. No, we will tell it, folks, but not not particularly. It's not the time nor the place nor the whatever it is. On the line is Dr. Ron Tarner from Denver, Colorado this evening. We're going to talk with the good doctor here about food allergies and what to expect this time of year if you happen to have any of these food allergies. How you doing, Doc? Dr. Tarner, and you're in Denver. You're a resident, I know, of Cloverdale. So you're in town for what?
Well, Phil, we're here right now. I'm with my son, and we're doing a little bit of Christmas shopping, and we're visiting a young lady that I know, and we may spend the night there. I don't know yet. Well, we'll see, you know, but my son comes first, and as I've often said to the women in my life, my son comes first, and you, whoever she is going to come second. There's nothing, I don't have a, well, I'm talking too much.
No, go ahead, go ahead.
It's all right, Ron, I want to hear this.
Well, I was just going to say, hello, Margaret, how are you?
I'm good.
Now I'm a little nervous because I know Margaret. No woman in my life takes precedence over my son.
Understood.
And so when she says, would you like to come up and spend the night, I say, I've got my son with me. And she'll say something like, can't you drop him off somewhere? And I'll say, no, I can't. And she'll say, well, you know, that's it. The invitation is rescinded. And I'll say, so that's how it's going to be. Huh? I can't come up there and sleep with you when I have my son. That's fine with me. I am done with you. And that's happened a couple of times in the last month.
In the last month, you know, it's hard to know whether people are going to be selfish like that.
Well, you just don't know, Phil. And so that's happened tonight. She said, do you have your son with you? And I said, yes, I do. And she said, you can't dump him someplace. I said, no, I can't.
Did she say dump him someplace?
Yes, she did. So I'm going to see what I can do next week.
Why would you want to have anything to do with this woman?
Why would I want to have what?
Why would you want to have anything to do with her?
Well, I want to have because she's a very beautiful woman, and that's a funny question.
This is a woman that said to you, why don't you dump your son someplace so you can come up here and sleep with me, right?
She didn't say sleep with me, but she...
All right, but you hear what I'm saying.
I hear what you're saying, Phil. I don't think she said anything that was all that... her choice of words, yes, I'll give you that. I will grant you that.
Well, Ron, don't you see she's saying, can't you dump the kid somewhere? That does not portend good things for you and that woman if that's how she speaks about your son.
Margaret, I'm not interested in marrying her. I'm not even interested in having her be visible at all in my life. If she's in my life at all, she'll never be seen by my friends and my family. That's never going to happen. I would not let a woman like that anywhere near my friends or family. All right.
Well, then you certainly don't want your son to spend the night up there with you, with this woman, right?
That's different. He can amuse himself with television or eat Joy Pop. I don't know what they call them anymore.
Probably like a popsicle.
Yeah, we could get popsicles and stand suckers and the things that kids dig. And he can sit and suck on that all night while, you know, Daddy is...
Please don't, Ron. Don't say it.
All right. Well, okay, I won't say the word suck, but...
Okay, Ron, so we know you have a very rich social life.
And by the way, could I interrupt for a moment?
Yeah.
Since when is it Ron and not Dr. Tarner?
Forgive me, Dr. Tarner.
Yes, I'm sorry, Dr. Tarner. I meant to say that.
Okay.
So you have a very rich social life. You have a lot of women, but the deal breaker is your son is with you, and if he can't be spending the night with you and these women, then it's a no deal.
Absolutely.
Do you think it's healthy, though, to have this boy with you when you are enjoying the company of a woman, a different woman, every other week?
I would rather have my son with me so I can explain it to him the next day than not have him with me, than have him with some babysitter down in our home in Cloverdale, where, by the way, his mother can come anytime she wants and sit there and tap into my bar and basically kill off all my Courvoisier and destroy all my my Martini and Rossi and whatever else I've got, because that's what she does. That's what she does. That's what Carolyn does. She'll come over when she knows that I'm not there, and she'll sit down with Marty, and he's watching television. And
your son's name is Marty?
Is that his name?
Yes, Marty. And I told you, because of Marty and Paddlefoot. And
oh, yeah, when you were a kid.
Yeah, we named him Marty because I loved that Marty and Paddlefoot. The show was called Spinner and Paddlefoot. I only found out later.
Well, you weren't going to name him Spinner, were you?
I loved that show so much, and the state that I was in when he was born, because I had been, as you know, Phil, I had a problem back then. So just before Marty was born, I had been cooking up some what was left of this baggie that I... God almighty, I can't believe it.
You were a junkie.
Yes, I was. And I was cooking up the last of boy, I can't, I just... Anyway, that's why I said name him Marty for the Marty and Paddlefoot show, and Carolyn said, don't you dare come near this hospital. And I said, thank you very much. I'm proud to be a father, too.
You were a mess.
Are you kidding me? And you finally pulled it together.
I had to, or else I wasn't going to graduate. So I did. And then I found out later the name of the show was Spinner and Paddlefoot. Had I known that then, as a dirty, filthy, crawling junkie, I'd have a son today named Spinner. I would have fought to the death for the name Spinner.
I got to tell you, Ron, I've heard some kooky stories tonight, but... Anyway, so tell me all about, so you're out and you're doing your Christmas shopping. I'd like to talk a little bit about these food allergies, okay?
I'd love to do that too, Phil.
Okay.
But it's difficult to let go of the whole, your son and these women.
Well, what's difficult to let go of?
Why are you going out with these women?
Because, Margaret, they're beautiful women. Do you want me to be more graphic? I will. They've got enormous breasts. Enormous breasts. I don't think we have to go any further. They've got enormous breasts.
I understand, Ron.
All right. You asked me why I'm going out with them. It should be obvious. They've got enormous breasts.
Enormous breasts.
Is he...
Well, okay, I get it, Ron. You keep with the redundancy. Of course Bud's going to make fun of you.
Don't do it, Dickman. Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me very much when I get angry. Is he laughing?
Yes, he is. Why?
I can sense it through the phone. I can sense it all the way here in Denver. The reason why I date these women, Margaret, is because...
They have enormous breasts. Enormous breasts.
That's exactly right. And if that's something that you can't deal with, if you've got some jealousy, perhaps...
Oh, wow. Woo! Yeah, that's right, Ron. I'm real jealous. I just really want to go out with an egghead with a flat-top haircut, horn-rimmed glasses with the chain around the neck, the pocket protector, the whole thing, the whole enchilada. I really want that.
I get it, okay? I get it. You're mocking me. I get it. You hate me. You hate everything about me.
I didn't say that.
All right, let's just take a break here.
Unreal, that man.
Let's just take a break here.
Let's just take a break here.
So you do want to die. Oh, that's great. It's not 10 o'clock yet.
No, I'm just kidding.
Uh-huh. We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com, 855-500-7445. And it's time. It's time. We're in the red zone, baby. In the red zone here. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. And, of course, this is very festive, too. This is the sound of doom, man. What the hell is this, Robert?
Not that hell's bells, man. AC/DC.
Yeah, this is real. This has got Elf and Santa written all over it, man. Be right back. World-famous Phil Henry Show. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. On the line with us, Dr. Ron Tarner. All right, I think we've gotten as far as we're going to go here, Ron, with your dating life, and I know it's been very invasive, and I apologize, but we do want to talk about the food allergy thing and what people may expect from not so much overindulgence, but just eating the wrong foods.
Well, Phil, that is exactly correct. Eating the wrong foods or at Christmas time or any time of the year can cause unbelievable pain from migraine headache, and that's what I wanted to speak with you about here. There are certain foods that can cause migraine headaches, and certain foods, believe it or not, that have an addictive quality. And one of those foods is one that you had mentioned to me, Phil, that you enjoy, cheeses. Now, I know you haven't eaten cheese in a long time, correct?
I've cut that completely out of my diet, not because of anything other than it's just too much fat.
Well, and I think you wisely have. Cheese has a level of opiate in it that can be addictive. We have found this out.
You're being serious.
Oh, I'm being very serious. Cheeses and different cheeses can be addictive. And this news comes at a time, I think, it's a great time for this news. Cheese is a very, as you mentioned, Phil, has lots of fat content. It binds the entire, we all know that it is a very binding food. I can't say enough about cheese that's bad. And I had my own experience with cheese, and I won't say anything, and I won't go into detail other than I want you to imagine trying to pass, you know.
Okay, Ron, please don't. You had mentioned this to me earlier, and I told you don't go on the air with this.
Well, I there's no other way of explaining what cheese did to me, and I want people to understand this.
What did cheese did to you?
Who is speaking?
Bud Dickman.
Oh, not that guy.
But what he's saying, what do you mean, what cheese did to you?
What cheese did to me, yes. It's an addictive... First of all, cheese is highly addictive. So when you're eating cheese, it has an addictive quality, not unlike nicotine, from cigarettes.
Yeah, well, that is very interesting, Dr. Tonner. I know that I enjoy cheese immensely, but when you say addicting, you're talking about someone who uses or not use, eats cheese daily.
Eats cheese daily, that's what I mean, yes. And in general, just so you understand, cheese was something that was a real problem for me. I was very much addicted to cheese, and what cheese did to me after I ate it. Now, imagine a man who is addicted to cheese. That means I'm eating at least a block of cheese a day.
Now, how much is that?
I can't tell you. I don't even know. But if you go to the store, you'll see the large block, almost brick size, of cheddar cheese. I had one of those at lunch every day.
Oh, my God. That is way too much fat.
That you had one of those at lunch?
An entire brick. And what that did to me and what the dairy farmers of Wisconsin did to me and the dairy farmers of California did to me...
But you're taking it all personal and stuff.
Yes, I notice you're taking it personally.
Well, why not take it personally? Because I was addicted. So I'm eating this cheese every day at noon. By 6 o'clock, something else is happening. And Margaret didn't want me to say what it is, so let me just say by 6 o'clock, the dairy farmers of Wisconsin... Boy.
It's that bad, huh?
Oh, it's worse. The dairy fowler, I can't even say the word now.
Dairy farmers?
I've got a mental block.
Let's just say the farmers.
No, that's the mental block. I can say dairy, the dairymen. How about that?
That's great.
But that was a band, too.
What do you mean it was a band?
I think that was a band from Liverpool.
No, there wasn't a band from Liverpool. It was like from...
The dairymen were, it was a band from Manchester, that's it.
Oh, who cares? Okay, so around 6 o'clock, what happens?
Someone takes their revenge on me, and they milk cows. There you go. Someone that milks a cow takes his revenge on me.
What's his name?
It's not a name. I told you I can't say Flemley.
He can't.
I'm going to hang this phone up in 5 seconds if I hear one more snicker from anyone.
Sorry. He can't say farmer. So someone that milks a cow, one or many?
Many people that milk cows take their revenge out on me at 6 o'clock every night.
Well, I can figure out what that would be.
You can?
Yeah. I mean, you're trying to crap a brick. And
I told you not to say that.
Well, he's saying it. It's not just a brick either. It's a mason block. It is a hard cement mason block. Goodbye.
All right.
Well, Phil, you gave him your word.
Oh, I didn't give him my word. I didn't give him anything. I said, I'll have you on the show. I'll try not to laugh if I laugh. But I'm going to tell you something. We have more guests on this show that have a maturity problem more than anything else that affects the mental state of these people is just gone. I can't say farmer. How about guys that milk cows for a living? They take their revenge out on me, and every day at 6, I crap a very rough, hard mason block. Ha, ha, ha. Goodbye. Click.
Well, can you blame him?
Oh, of course I can blame him.
I would blame him too as well, Margaret. That's very childish. A man's going to laugh if you're telling me that you willingly eat a block of cheese at noon, and at six, the guys that milk cows get their revenge on you. That is a laughable statement in a variety of different directions.
It absolutely is. And I think that if we have Ron back on the show, and by the way, this guy's life is way out of control. I sleep with a different woman every couple of weeks, and my son is with me, and they won't let my son stay. Well, they don't know because I love my son. What the hell is that about? And why do you sleep with them? They have large breasts, Phil. Large breasts, Phil.
Look at you laughing. A pornographic lifestyle. You think it's funny?
Yeah, large breasts, Phil. We'll see you guys tomorrow.
They have large breasts, Miss Gray.
Shut your filthy hole.
They have large... Ow!